At the very beginning of his ministry, Jesus walked along the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two brothers, Peter and Andrew. They were standing knee-deep in the water, and they were casting their nets into the sea. Fishing was their livelihood. Jesus looked at them and said, "Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." Immediately, they dropped their nets and took up the nets of the kingdom of God. A few steps later, he saw two other brothers, James and John. They're in the boat with their father, mending their nets. He calls out to them, "Come and follow me, and I will make you fishers of people." They left the boat, they left their father, the family business, and they joined the new fishing crew. The very first image of ministry that Jesus gives this disciple or his disciples is fishing. It's the same motion, the same skill set, casting nets, mending nets, and gathering in. But now, it has a different purpose. Then we get to Matthew chapter 13, and Jesus tells them a fishing story, or what we call a parable. The parable of the net, maybe you've heard it called the parable of the dragnet. It begins with an everyday scene for Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and many people that lived around the Sea of Galilee. They would have understood this scene intimately. They would have known what Jesus was talking about like the back of their own hands. A net is cast into the sea, pulled to shore, heavy with fish. And, as it always is in fishing, there's everything in the net. You don't just catch the fish that you're wanting. You get a little bit of everything. Not only fish, but you may get some seaweed, maybe even some rocks, and some other junk that may be floating in the water. But in the net are big fish, little fish, one fish, two fish, red fish, blue fish, beautiful fish and ugly fish, good fish and bad fish. And in Jewish terms, clean fish and unclean fish. And once the net is pulled to the shore, the fishermen sit on the beach, tired but yet focused, sorting through the catch. Good fish into the baskets, the bad fish are tossed back into the sea. Just an ordinary day in Galilee. And then Jesus, in this story, shifts the scene. Instead of the fishermen sitting on the beach on an every day in Galilee, all of a sudden they're transported to the end of the age. In Jesus' story, the sorters are no longer sunburnt fishermen. They are glorious angels. And the fish are no longer creatures of the sea, but they are people, the good and the bad. The righteous and the wicked, sorted not by fishermen and not even by humans, but by the hand of God. This is the story that Jesus tells in Matthew chapter 13 after telling a series of parables about what the kingdom of God is like. Let's listen to this very short parable in Matthew 13, starting in verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down, and put the good into baskets and threw out the bad. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into a furnace of fire where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, this is a parable about judgment, and it sounds very similar to a parable that we looked at a few weeks ago, which is the parable of the wheat and the weeds. You might think, well, it's the same moral, the same lesson, just told in a different story. It's a twin parable, but when you look at it, there is a big difference. In the parable of the wheat and the weeds, there's an enemy. Someone deliberately sowed seeds among the field. In the parable of the net, there is no enemy. The mix of good and bad isn't a matter of sabotage. It's just a normal day out on the lake fishing. It's just part of what it means to cast your nets into the world. Now, if we're going to put this in a theological perspective, if Jesus is turning his disciples into kingdom fishermen, then their ministry, their evangelism, they're out there sharing the good news, will draw all kinds. It's interesting that in most translations, it says that they caught fish of every kind. The word fish is not in the original. It just says they caught some of every kind. Of course, the fish represents people, right? The sea represents the world at large. The net represents the kingdom of God. And so, when we are out doing ministry, we will draw all kinds of people. Devoted disciples, half-hearted people, skeptics, maybe even some wolves in sheep clothing, even people who get swept up in the kingdom by accident. It's not the devil's fault. It's just what happens when you throw a big net. Jesus is telling us that the kingdom throws a big net and gathers all kinds of people. Now, to Jesus' first listeners in Galilee, this isn't an abstract metaphor. The Greek word for net, because there are two types of nets, all right, in Galilee being used at this time, and there are actually two different Greek words that represent this net. One is a net that you would stand just about waist deep or knee deep in the water. You can pick up the net on yourself, you throw it out over a school of fish, and you draw it in all by yourself. It's not the net that Jesus is talking about. He's talking about a large net, several hundred meters long, that would be loaded into several different boats. They would push out into the water. They would drop their nets, and there was a massive dragnet with weights on the bottom and floats on the top. And then crews would pull it slowly toward the shore, scooping up fish of every kind. The Jewish fishermen, sorting wasn't about keeping the pretty fish or the biggest fish or the trophy fish. It was about keeping the kosher fish. Catfish and other scaleless species were unclean. They went back into the water or were discarded. The good fish were the edible fish, the lawful ones. The bad ones you couldn't keep. And that's important because Jesus shifts the category from kosher unclean to righteous and wicked. For Jesus, the picture moves from just ritual purity to moral and spiritual integrity. And the sorting, that's not the job of disciples. That's God's job at the end. Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a net. The kingdom of heaven here doesn't mean the afterlife. The kingdom of heaven is God's reign on the earth, and God's reign breaking into our world. And God's reign is a wide in its embrace. And it's messy. It's full of the righteous and the wicked, full of saints and sinners. That's how the kingdom of God looks in the world today. In other words, it is all inclusive. The gathering, inclusion, happens before the sorting, happens before transformation. I think that's important for us to know as a church. Because we are a local outpost of the kingdom. And we have to learn to live in that tension. We're not the sorters. We're the ones in the net together. And we're the ones that will be sorted in the end. God's kingdom is incredibly inclusive. Now, we need to be careful about what we mean with inclusion. Again, the net gathers before it sorts. The net gathers, it includes, before this transformation. That means that entry into the kingdom's orbit is not conditioned on people's already being good fish. It just doesn't. But inclusion isn't the same as just casual acceptance either. The net gathers for the sake of transformation. The kingdom is a net, not a fence. We have to remember that. Our job as the church isn't to make the final call on who's in or out in God's kingdom. Our job is to be fishermen and to learn to live in the tension of being in the net until the net reaches the shore. So the kingdom is a place where people are invited, welcomed, and formed in the way of Jesus. We welcome people widely. We form them deeply. And we trust God to sort it all out. Now, if you're like me, and I read this, and I said, well, it seems to me that the kingdom of God, this net, means that it is all-inclusive, right? No one is ever excluded. Anyone and everyone can be gathered up in this net. What does that mean for the church? Does that mean that we just let everyone in? Everyone's welcome. Everyone can worship, participate in ministry, our meals. What does that look like? Because I saw this tension, because I read 1 Corinthians chapter 5, for example, where Paul says that there is something called holiness and righteousness and church discipline. That it's not a matter of just including absolutely everyone, that there are no boundaries, that we have to be worried about church purity. So some hear this parable and ask, what about Paul telling the Corinthians to remove someone from fellowship because of persistent sin? Well, I don't think Paul is contradicting Jesus. He's talking about the present health and witness of a local congregation, not someone's eternal destiny. That's what Jesus is talking about. Jesus says final sorting is God's job at the end. Paul says right now, guard the integrity of the body so it can be the place where holiness and love grow. So church discipline or church holiness at its best is about restoration. It's about transformation, not condemnation. It's about protecting the flock, not deciding who gets into heaven. So what do we do? How do we balance all of this out? Because according to Jesus, the net, the kingdom, everyone gets caught up in the net. So what do we do? Because we're living in the kingdom, we're citizens of the kingdom. What do we do with people that we may consider to be bad fish? Do we act as gatekeepers? Do we decide who's in, who's out? Who can sit in these pews and who can't? Because I see lots of churches with signs that say, all are welcome, until you walk in and you find out you're not so welcome. Is there anyone we would consider shunning, or at the very least making them feel unwelcome, so that we wouldn't have them among us? See, my growing up in the church, the way it was taught to me is that people believe the gospel when they hear it. Then they learn to behave, and when they reach a certain level of behavior, then they're allowed to belong. Well, I'm not so sure that's the way it ought to be. You could argue that they're allowed to belong. Come sit at our table. Jesus ate with tax collectors and sinners, right? He welcomed them. Come, belong to us, and hopefully by hanging out with us and seeing that we love one another, you'll begin to believe the gospel story. And then the Holy Spirit will do His work and transform you, and then you'll begin to behave more and more like Jesus. See, I believe that's the way it ought to be. So I was thinking through this, and I thought, well, what if I wrote up like a statement, a policy for the Wheeler Road Church of Christ? This has not been sanctioned. The elders have not seen this. This is just a mental exercise on my part. Wondering, what would it look like for the church here to embrace the tension of the kingdom of God being an all-inclusive net, yet believing that discipleship involves things like repentance and baptism and seeking the Spirit of God and having the fruit of the Spirit in your life? This is what I wrote. And I started out with just talking about the parable. Jesus compared the kingdom of heaven to a net that was let down in the lake and caught fish of every kind. In the parable, the sorting of good and bad fish happens at the end of the age and is done by God's angels, not by us. This means the kingdom's posture in the present is radical welcome. Everybody can come. There are no conditions, but yet patient formation. So, again, this is hypothetical, just a mental exercise. At Wheeler Road, we might say that we seek to mirror the kingdom's posture. All are welcome to gather with us in worship, to hear the gospel, share in meals, and participate in the life of our community. We will never turn anyone away for any reason. Well, qualify that. There might be a few reasons that we might need to protect the flock. But that's enough. I'm getting into the weeds. All are invited into the journey of discipleship, learning to follow Jesus, submit to his teachings, and be transformed by his Spirit. All are treated with dignity. They are all image bearers of God, regardless of their background, their story, or their present struggles. Jesus' welcome is never separated from his call to follow him. We believe that the gospel calls each of us, without exception, to turn away from all that is outside of God's design and to live under the lordship of Jesus. But we recognize that discipleship is a process. We walk with one another with patience and grace and truth. We recognize that repentance is part of following Jesus for all of us, not just for some people. We all have sins that need to be forgiven. It causes us to be humble. We don't see ourselves as superior righteously as anyone else. It means ongoing surrender of our lives, our beliefs, our habits, our relationships, our desires to be shaped by Jesus. No one in our church, including our leaders, is without need of God's mercy, grace, and transformation. So we accept that the net is all-inclusive, wide. It pulls in all people, and we remind ourselves that we too are fish in that net. And we're caught up by God's grace, God's mercy, and that we need it just as much as everybody else. So because we take both the welcome and discipleship seriously, anyone may attend our worship service, our Bible studies, our fellowship meals, and most community events, regardless of their spiritual maturity or their moral starting point. But then there's another step. Our family is based on a covenant that we've made with God and a covenant that we've entered to with one another. So those seeking covenant membership, those seeking to become members, commit to following Jesus. They've been baptized into his death and resurrection and are walking or willing to walk in the way of Christ's teaching. And then there's the leadership, teaching positions, those serving in ministry positions. Those roles must be living in alignment with the church's understanding of what biblical discipleship is all about, so that we can be examples to the flock. And so, where there are areas of life clearly and persistently outside of that teaching, leadership roles are not assigned until repentance and a desire of obedience are evident. So we live in the tension, and we trust God. God will judge righteously. We acknowledge that only God knows the heart. We will not attempt to pronounce final judgment on anyone's eternal destiny. We will not play gatekeeper. We will accept anyone into the nets. We will live as a community shaped by God's mercy and God's holiness, trusting him to the final sorting when Christ returns. So what do? In short, wrap it up. We welcome widely. We meet people where they are. We disciple patiently and gently, letting the Spirit do his work. We hold leadership to a biblical standard. And we trust God for final judgment. So, that's how I would propose it happen. I see that as the tension between what Paul is saying and what Jesus is telling us. Now, as you read the parable, it sounds kind of dark, doesn't it? sounds like this final judgment. There's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And it's like, well, there's not a lot of good news in this parable. Well, I would say that the fact that the kingdom is a net and that it's drawing all people in, that is good news. I believe that's to be the case. But I think there's some other good news there, because the parable is not meant to make us afraid. For Matthew, God's final judgment is a positive thing. It's a promise that evil will not win, that God's justice will prevail. For example, I thought about Edward Jenner when he announced the goal of eradicating smallpox. Nobody said when that happened, oh, what terrible news, smallpox has been eradicated. No, that was good news. In the same way, God's intention to banish evil is good news. And we also remember that judgment isn't about God getting revenge. It is about God setting the world right. It's God preserving righteousness from evil's contamination. That's what it's good news that God wins. So, when ministry feels messy, when the outsider looks at the church and says, "You guys are full of hypocrites. You let anybody in." We insiders say, "Well, look at what the net dragged in." God is doing his work here. And we're going to let God do his work. We remember that the day is not done. God will sort, God will preserve the good. And in the final picture is a kingdom whose righteousness shines like the sun. So here's the point. The kingdom net is still in the water. It hasn't reached the shore yet. It's still ahead. So our call is to keep casting, keep mending, keep inviting, keep befriending, keep loving, and keep forming. Our call is to resist the temptation to start looking or sorting before the time. Because in the end, the same Jesus who called Peter, Andrew, James, and John to fish for people is still calling us. Not only to fish, but to trust him with the catch. You know, that releases a lot of burden off of me. I don't have to be the judge. I don't have to stand at the door and decide who's allowed to come in and who doesn't. I just open with welcome arms. Because I don't know the hearts of men. I can't tell you who's a good fish or a bad fish of those even sitting in this room. Can't. We all assume we're good fish. That's the thing, isn't it? Those who are us are doing the judging all assume we're good fish. And I hope we are. But the truth is, God only knows. So, let's keep casting our nets, embracing the all-inclusive nature of the kingdom, meeting people where they are, resist the temptation to be gatekeepers, walk with people in love, let the Spirit do his work of transforming them, and then let God sort it all out. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that your net is wide, that your mercy is deep, and most of all, Father, that your justice is sure. Give us the patience, Father, to live in the tension between gathering and sorting. So teach us to welcome as you welcome, to form as you form, and to trust your timing in all things. Father, protect our witness to the world. Guide our steps and keep us faithful until the day your kingdom comes in full and righteousness shines like the sun. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. If you would, please stand with me. Church, God has thrown his net into the waters. He has called us to be fishers of men. Let's go out, cast nets, and fish. And as you do, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you.